Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, now powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is multifamily build-to-rent, its benefits and challenges. Joining me by phone are two fabulous multifamily industry veterans, Dana Doble, Vice President of Kaplan Multifamily, and Nicole Williams, the Chief Executive Officer of Smart Apartment Data. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you, Paul. So, good morning.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you. And you know, this is a topic that we are hearing more and more about. I'm not going to say it's relatively new, but it is something that is definitely trending across the country. And when I'm going to conferences, I've started to notice in the last 2 years that there are a lot of sessions that are starting to really key in on build-to-rent, also known as BTR, in the industry. So, Dana, tell us a little bit about the definition of build-to-rent. What does it mean?
Sure. Well, build-to-rent communities are a type of residential property that are built for the sole purpose of being rented out, just as the name would suggest. And unlike traditional master plan housing developments, which often are built for sale with individuals or investors purchasing homes and then renting them out later, build-to-rent communities are developed and constructed with the renter in mind from the beginning. And so you're going to typically see that build-to-rent communities are going to have at least 50 or more homes. And they are operating very similarly to a traditional multifamily community where they're professionally managed by a management company or owner-operator.
And, Nicole, I know with Smart Apartment Data, you guys cover the entire country. Where are you seeing the BTR trend mostly?
So, well, the segment of the BTR that we track is definitely the pod, or as Dana would call, the horizontal multifamily. So we're not tracking just the scattered multifamily, which I think, Dana, that's another piece to this that you and I have had conversations about, that I think is an interesting aspect to BTR as far as the pod versus scattered, and then looking at shared walls versus individual plats. Do you, before we move on to your feel, and I'll answer that in just a minute, Dana, do you have any insights into kind of the differences of those particular types of BTR?
Absolutely. So it's very interesting, and, you know, market conditions definitely are going to drive that decision on a developer on how they're going to approach their project. And so typically when you have a parcel of land that is one contiguous parcel and you put multiple homes on that singular parcel, that's what you're going to typically see as horizontal multifamily. In master plan communities where you have multiple builders in that community, you're going to usually find that that land developer has carved out a section or a pod that will be just dedicated to single family homes that will be rented. And whether the land developer is choosing to partner with the builder themselves to carve out that pod, or they may sell that land to a single family builder that is specializing in BTR in the pod space. So you have varying different approaches to the BTR space. And then, of course, as you mentioned, with the scattered That's going to typically be, you know, operators that are purchasing homes and then managing them under, you know, one management company. So it could be that that particular operator has five homes in a community, or maybe only one home in a community. They could be 10 miles apart. They could be, as we know, in Houston and some of the other metros such as Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, Phoenix, it could be an hour and a half from one side of town to the other. So it's really important to be thoughtful about, as an operator, the geography and what your entire portfolio, not just the style, but just the impact of the travel time for your team.
So I found it very interesting, Paul and Dana. And another aspect that we talked about is, what about the 1980 townhome? Are we considering that built to rent as well, or are we looking at that mid-2000 build and newer? I think there's an argument on both sides, right?
I would agree there is an argument on both sides. I think the biggest determining factor there is that 1980s product still owned by, you know, one entity being managed by one entity. If it's a townhome community that's been kind of individually sold off, but an investor has come in and purchased 10 of the 20 units or 10 of the 50 units, I don't know that you could really classify that as BTR if it's not the entire community. But if it is the entire community, I think there is a very strong argument, especially when that entire community is being operated under, you know, one umbrella in a professional management setting.
Right. So thank you for that. I think it's really important, Paul, that there is an understanding in the definition of what BTR is, and that there is pod-based BTR, and then there is scattered. And Dana's also talked about, you know, the shadow markets and, you know, secondary, tertiary markets, where even we may not even be aware, at least from a data perspective, that some of those are out there. So, but to answer your question, where we're seeing the most growth in this BTR is in Georgia, and mainly your, you know, major metros. So you have Atlanta, obviously Phoenix. And then DFW is actually ahead of Houston, but that's where you see land. I mean, you see land, and they're growing horizontally, and instead of up in the urban areas. So we still continue to see those trends, but we are seeing a little bit of a pullback on some of the construction. But we can move on down that road in a minute.
And Dan, let me ask you a question, again, going back to the definition of what is considered BTR, when I think, you know, there are several huge companies out there that have 70,000, you know, 80,000, 90,000 single family homes that they have in a portfolio that they rent all across the country. Some of the portfolio, one of the companies that comes to mind is Progressive Residential, and a gentleman's been a guest on our show before, and I know that they've got a smattering of BTR, where they've got the the little neighborhoods where they all own all the homes, but a lot of their portfolio is just single family homes scattered about that they purchased and are renting out. They weren't necessarily built to rent, but they bought them to rent. Is that considered BTR?
I think that you can make the argument from that the concept is built to rent, but in terms of the product style, I wouldn't classify it as built to rent. I think the concept, yes. And I think that there's a lot of markets, you know, tertiary markets, suburban markets, where there's a real need for rental opportunities. Where, you know, maybe the existing multifamily that is in an area that is gentrifying or that is, you know, growing at a greater pace than what the existing rental market has to offer, And there, you know, it is a large sector of the renter demographic that their preferences have changed, especially over the last 5 years. Having, you know, been a manager on the multifamily side and the BTR side, the challenges that we incurred during the pandemic really made the renter demographic think about what's important to them. And you saw a shift in the preference being to be more detached from your neighbor. Still want to be inclusive, still want to have that neighborhood feel and the amenities that come with a traditional multifamily community, but not quite on top of each other anymore.
Yeah. We've got about a minute left, and let me just ask one question. I'll direct this to you, Dana. I know Kaplan has dipped their toe into build to rent. I'm pretty sure Graystar has. Who are some of the other companies out there that are really trying to get in on the trend?
It's really interesting because there's a pretty robust number of developers that are moving into the space. Wanbridge has been a very dominant developer. We're also seeing Camden. We are seeing the Dinnerstein companies. So you really are seeing all of those well-known and respected developers that you've seen in the multifamily space that are crossing over into the build-to-rent space. I would say that the developers that you've seen do the multifamily apartment community developments, the build-to-rent product that they're typically building is more that horizontal multifamily product where it's one contiguous parcel of land that's platted as a singular parcel versus the pods that are in the master plan community where each home is its own parcel. I will say that the pod scenario in a master plan, while they may operate that as one community, it does alleviate some level of risk that there is a parachute should things change and they need to or make the decision that they want to sell off the homes at a future date, they could. Where in the horizontal multifamily product type, you would be selling the entire community.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegion representative.
In the fast-paced world of multifamily management, staying connected matters. Need to grow your LinkedIn and boost your visibility? With DottiPost, you can do it smarter and faster. DottiPost lets you create stunning professional posts in just seconds. You can highlight your property, showcase your team, and engage your audience all while growing your network. With easy-to-use templates and real-time insights, DottiPost helps you increase your followers and connect with potential clients effortlessly. Take your multifamily business to new heights. Use DottiPost to turn your LinkedIn into your most powerful tool. DottiPost. Post smarter, grow faster. Go to DottiPost.com to sign up. Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we are discussing the topic of multifamily build-to-rent, its benefits and challenges. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two terrific multifamily industry veterans, Dana Doval, Vice President of Kaplan Multifamily, and Nicole Williams, the Chief Executive Officer of Smart Apartment Data. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Ladies, in the first segment, we talked a little bit about what was motivating people to want to choose, residents to choose a build-to-rent scenario over a traditional multifamily. Let's take a little bit of a deeper dive into that. What are some of the shifts that you've seen that are causing those renters to want to look at build-to-rent?
Well, as a management professional, you know, I started my career over 30 years ago, and it's really been a fulfilling career. There's not really much more important than knowing that you're having a meaningful impact on someone's home and their life. And I've thoroughly enjoyed renting apartment communities my entire career. And then as that broadened, whether it be condos, whether it be single family homes that were scattered or for individuals, just that passion for serving others, especially where it comes to their home, it's such an impact on their quality of life. And so during the pandemic, you know, it was just such a powerful impact for everyone, whether you were on the front line as a management professional trying to navigate all of those challenges, or whether you were the renter and a customer trying to navigate those challenges. But we did see a definite shift in the residents' desire to still have all of the benefits of that professionally managed environment, and amenities and services, but not be so close together. Wanted to be more spread apart. So the build-to-rent segment has been very, very exciting to see. I've thoroughly enjoyed it 3 years now. And just knowing that there are now more options than just a multifamily apartment or purchasing a home. And many of the communities, you know, have very substantial amenities included, whether it's a swimming pool or a fitness center and pet parks and trails. And just knowing that you're being able to provide something that is so needed. The other thing that I find so exciting in this space is it's not just your traditional single family detached home or single family attached duplex style. We're seeing products that include cottages, bungalows, row homes. In some communities, it gives the feel that you're in a brownstone community. So there's so many different architectural design choices that can be made. There's also styles where, you know, you may have an alley load community where the garage and the driveways are on the back of the home and courtyards on the front side of the home. There's just so many options that are coming into the space that really give the renter demographic options that they've not had before.
And Nicole, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've seen as far as why residents are choosing this.
Well, I know for, let's say, you know, young adults, professionals, and not really having the resources financially for down payments for homes. So they still want to, you know, dab their foot in what it would be like to have home ownership. Not necessarily all the responsibilities, but being able to get a sense of what that may be like and not be tied to that particular area. I know at least for my young adult children, you know, they're looking to move. If they are able to work remotely, they can live in an area of the country for a period of time and not have to move. So between interest rates and the down payments that we've had in the past, you know, I can't forecast the future, but knowing that what the environment has been like over the last several years, it's been very inviting for that particular segment of the, you know, the renter's pool. And I do see some additional challenges that are coming with that. And I know we're going to touch on those, but from different segments of the BTR, one thing I am seeing that's interesting is, you know, we've always had active adult multifamily. I'm starting to see some classified as active adult single family BTR. Mm. So I'm kind of curious where that's going to go. And information on that, but I'm seeing some of that coming up in the proposed and under construction world of pipeline.
Yeah, and so Dana, that's a good point. What are you seeing out there as far as the demographic of the renter? Is it driven by baby boomers that are wanting to downsize, or what are you seeing? Across the board with different demographics, but what's driving it?
It is a myriad, and so. It's very interesting when you're looking at the different projects, because whether it's urban core, suburban, or tertiary markets is really going to impact what that demographic looks like. But in the last 3 years, what I've seen is a myriad of younger professionals, couples, people who are starting families that have outgrown a traditional multifamily apartment size. But that aren't in a financial position to purchase yet. We're also seeing renters by choice that they don't want the burden or the maintenance of owning their own home, but they want the conveniences of the home. And then we are also still seeing a large sector in my suburban markets where it is a transition commitment for maybe one rental period because they're having a home built or they're purchasing a home or they want to be close to a family member that owns a home in the surrounding area. And then we do also have those baby boomers and retirees. So it really is a myriad. I think that when the BTR wave was really kicking off in Arizona, a few years back, there was a large sector that was that baby boomer retiree, and that's where a lot of our underwriting assumptions kind of were born, was because that was the most popular market. But I think it's evolved so much in the last 10 years, let's call it, and really most of the markets, like here in Texas, it's really only been in the last 5 years that you started to see this surge in development. And that's one of the things I know we'll get to here in a little bit, but just some of the statistics from some of the reporting sources of BTR growth is very exciting.
I know in traditional multifamily, when a property is being developed, there's a huge effort into pre-leasing units, that whole process as the project is starting to get to the point of being completed. What type of pre-leasing are you seeing on BTR communities?
In the horizontal multifamily projects, it is much easier to do pre-leasing, in my opinion. When you have the master plan pod type of project, sometimes the construction delivery for the homes is in advance of the master plan's infrastructure and utilities. So it can be cumbersome to try to pre-lease in that environment. Once the infrastructure piece has been, fully launched, it becomes a lot easier. And especially, the cycle, the market cycles are probably more of a driver of that. I would say that Seasonality is critical. So timing your delivery schedule with seasonality can either start the pace of your lease up with great excitement and verve and energy, and or if your timing is off, it can be a little more painful.
We're going to be right back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Application fraud in multifamily is a major challenge we're all contending with today, and the risk is ever increasing, making it more important than ever to strive for driving delinquency to 0%. If you could eliminate the worst form of application fraud with just a few clicks, you would, right? With PayScore, accuracy is everything. By automating income verification, they deliver clear, concise, and 100% bank-verified income reports in minutes. No more doubts, delays, or fraud. Just the truth about applicant income. PayScore. Accurate, easy, safe. Visit PayScore.com and start verifying with confidence. PayScore. Click, verify, relax.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of multifamily build-to-rent, its benefits and challenges. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two fantastic multifamily industry veterans, Dana Doval, Vice President of Kaplan Multifamily, and Nicole Williams, the Chief Executive Officer of Smart Apartment Data. I want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily living. Zentra, a seamless security solution designed to solve the everyday problems of shared property access. Zentra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. And PayScore, learn the truth about applicant income. So I want to talk a little bit in this segment about some of the operational challenges and considerations of the build-to-rent market. Dana, what are some of those that you're seeing out there when you're starting to think about developing a property?
Sure. Well, you know, on the development side and the construction side, so much in the last, let's call it the last 5 years, in terms of land costs, just that piece alone, and then get into the capital piece in terms of the debt needed and the upfront capital needed. So those have significantly impacted where rents have to be, right? So then that also feeds back to that whole affordability question. So while you go into business because you want to have a profitable business, we're on it, you know, if we're being honest with each other, being in the housing business is about service to others in providing excellent, homes and excellent housing. So you really have to think about how are you going to offset any of those increased costs on the development and construction side. And many of the build-to-rent communities are smaller unit count. And so typically a underwriting that's done for those types of properties, the staff size is going to kind of be driven on how large the community is. So you really have to think about what operational efficiencies are we going to build in to help that smaller team still provide the excellent service and the quality that you're putting behind your project. I would stress highly infrastructure, really future-proofing and thinking about all the considerations that drive the technology piece and the infrastructure piece. There's so many wonderful technology products out there, but if you layer in so many that your team has 40 plus software products that they're having to manage on a daily basis, they're not really able to give your customer the service they need because they're chasing data in the software. So sometimes less is more, and just really be thoughtful about the partners that you're using to solve any of those operational workflow items that you're trying to make more efficient. The other operational challenges that we've seen across all residential is fraud. I don't think that that's going to necessarily go away, but I will say that some of the partners that have come into the space for helping to verify income documents and identification validation, there's some great providers out there that have really helped to minimize the impact of fraud. And then also thinking about in multifamily, whenever we would develop a community, we're really being thoughtful about the unit mix, right? How many are one bedrooms? How many are two bedrooms? Are we going to do any three bedrooms? What are those sizes going to look like? And so in the multifamily space, we were always very sensitive to how many three bedrooms we would put on a single property. And now we're developing entire properties that are three bedrooms or four bedrooms. So you really are catering to that resident demographic that is at the top of the financial spectrum of what most multifamily operators have been accustomed to. So being really thoughtful about your renter demographic, making sure that the infrastructure and technology piece is well suited for the property needs, for the team needs, and is it really beneficial to the resident? So if it's seamless and there's a lot of fluidity on the customer side and the team side, it's a home run. But if you're layering in that the resident has to have four different apps on their phone to operate different things on the property, then it's not become a benefit anymore. It's become a burden. So just really being thoughtful about making sure all of the just living contingencies have been well thought out.
We've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. Nicole, what are your thoughts?
So I really want to kind of dive into the operational challenges around the, we've seen an influx of this offering, and at least from a data perspective, we are seeing some flattening of the rent and some softening of the occupancies. And I think it's important to get, at least Dana, from your perspective, one, do you agree with that? And two, is there any operational challenges that are contributing to that? Is it the financial aspect of it as far as how it was developed, the amenities that were put in there, and then the affordability of it, is that driving the softening of the occupancies? Or because they see rents have stabilized, or they're stabilizing, we're not having crazy rent growth that we've had over the last, 4 years. And so I was curious, kind of get your opinion on that, Dana.
Yeah, I would say just, from the front line perspective of analyzing rent performance within our comp sets, I would say that, most operators are really holding tight to where their rents are. And call it the last 18 months, they probably have been more flat to maybe 1.5% growth. And I think that is more about the economic cycles we have faced nationally and regionally more so than the product that's being delivered. When your, you know, insurance and grocery costs and utility costs have gone up as much as they have in the last few years, you have to make some tough decisions about what are the bells and whistles that you're willing to forego. And so in the build-to-rent space, you have all levels, right? You have entry-level build-to-rent. You have, you know, like that solid B finish package. And then you have very amenitized build-to-rent. So just being mindful of being connected to what your resident demographic is, financial impact is on them directly, and really being able to sell the value proposition, right? You're not going to necessarily appeal to every demographic that's out there, but do you have bulk Wi-Fi? Is that helping save that resident additional utility costs or home costs? I mean, like, really build the offering that you're providing based around the financial impact to that resident's, you know, pocketbook. And are people willing to spend a little more for additional benefits? That's not always an easy decision. Right. But building that resident experience and other intangible benefits, just that sense of community, resident events, the high level of customer service, I mean, people will spend more for those things if it's consistent and it's high quality.
Because you had mentioned several different types of build-to-rent opportunities, one being the entry level, as you said, up to the high amenity level. Where do you really see the thrust in the industry? Where is everybody gravitating towards as far as the developers?
Oh, that's a great question, Paul. I would say that the tertiary markets are going to drive that entry level piece. The suburban and urban cores are going to be more of that higher end and kind of middle of the road piece. And as Nicole was mentioning about that demographic that's working remotely or working from home, when you have amenities built in like the bulk Wi-Fi, that's a tremendous benefit. Sometimes in the tertiary markets, you have other challenges with kind of the consistency of services, such as internet services and some other challenges as well. As different markets are growing and thriving and just construction, right? I mean, how many times do you drive through, you know, your city and there's expansion or there's road improvements? And as that continues to spread out, you're going to have an impact on that infrastructure piece. And just, again, back to that whole future-proofing process of, like, anticipating, are you in an area that's gentrifying? Should you be prepared that there's going to be additional infrastructure improvements coming to that area? Doing your research, staying in touch with the city planners or the county planners of what's coming to your area. It makes a difference to your residents.
Okay, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of multifamily build-to-rent, its benefits and challenges. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two awesome multifamily industry veterans, Dana Doval, Vice President of Kaplan Multifamily, and Nicole Williams, the Chief Executive Officer of Smart Apartment Data. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in the multifamily property management game. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Nicole, I want to start with you because we want to talk in the last part of the first part of this last segment about the future of build-to-rent. What are the statistics showing where we are today?
Well, as I mentioned in the very beginning of the show, you know, we as a data company are looking at the master planned, you know, pod based horizontal multifamily, you know, 50 units and up. And of the, you know, 65,000 units that we are tracking right now, we're still seeing that there's about another 30 to 40 that proposed pipeline across the nation. So we don't see the growth slowing down, or at least the proposals of the growth slowing down. Where we are seeing is that some of that pipeline is in markets we haven't seen before. So whether that be out in Ohio or some other areas where there's a lot of land versus in some of these markets where we've just been seeing a tremendous amount of growth, as we spoke about, like Atlanta and Houston, DFW, Phoenix. But keep in mind, one thing to consider is that when you look at the nation overall of the, you know, 22 million units that at least we're tracking nationally, when you look at the 60, 70,000 units from a BTR standpoint, that's still a relatively low amount of units from a percentage standpoint that's in this segment of Again, I don't see it slowing. I really don't see it slowing down any. But the tremendous growth that we had between 2020 and 2024 into 2025, I'm not seeing that level of expansion. You know, the 300% growth over the last 5 years. I'm seeing that scaled back just a little bit. But that's just what the data is showing now. And as we know, data changes on a daily basis.
Sure. And Dana, what are you seeing?
Just to, you know, in tandem with Nicole, she's spot on. And I would say that, you know, for my whole career, we always watched that single family shadow market as a comp. And you would have to do that, you know, you have to become a little bit of a PI. You'd have to use some kind of unconventional sources, realtor friends. I mean, when I started in the industry, we still had the green sheet. We still had classified. So, you know, we really had to stretch our legs to find data. We didn't have the incredible data sources like Nicole's with like Smart Data. One of the things I have seen of late, I would say call it the last 12 months, there are a lot of projects that are slated, they're entitled, they're ready to go, but they're on the shelf because the finance and the lending piece is just, the economic conditions don't support that. It will be interesting to see what happens over the course of the next 12 months with this economic cycle, and if, when the improvement comes, how quickly those projects come off the shelf and ramp up in coming out of the ground.
That certainly makes sense. I wanted to find out a little bit about what you're seeing in the, I guess, the geographical push right now? Is it still all Sun Belt, or is there viable properties that are projects being slated in colder communities?
So it has shifted a little bit. Again, we're talking about some in the Midwest. But we still see some saturation in the Sun Belt area. I have noticed that Florida is creeping up on this BTR scale as far as what is in the pipeline and actually what's been built. So I would put Florida in number 4 or 5 as far as the and looking at some of your suburban and urban areas of, say, the Northeast, that's really yet to be determined. There's things that are slated, but to Dana's point, I'm not sure that they're going to come out of the ground. Outside of that, that's kind of the areas that we're seeing some of that potential growth.
And what are you seeing, Dana?
Very, very similar. You know, we operate mostly in the Sun Belt, and so that's where our primary focus is. And we're seeing projects that are getting ready to open that have, you know, been in the development pipeline for several years that are just starting to catch up, especially in Texas and Georgia. So in terms of like watching our comps and watching other developers that are in the space with us, I mean, everybody's success only means greater things for our residents, right? The better we are as a group of developing build-to-rent and multifamily apartment communities, the better impact on the quality of lives it has for our residents. So we're learning a lot. There's, you know, a lot of projects that I'm sure have gone sideways. And then, so what do? You work really hard to kind of resolve, find to the core why it happened and how to correct it. And we're all learning from our peers in that space. But there are a large number of developers that are actively under construction that will be delivering this year. So it'll be interesting to see how that additional supply and inventory has an impact on our occupancies and our rent performance. But ultimately, I just hope it's, you know, steel sharpens steel, and it just makes us all better operators and professionals in service to our residents.
Certainly. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to give each of you a minute and a half or so to talk a little bit about your journey into multifamily, what you're doing now at your companies, and then also if someone wants to reach out to you, how can they do that? Let's start with you, Dana.
Great, thank you. So I started my career in the early 90s. I was a part-time weekend leasing consultant, so I started on the front line long before we had computers or software, and it's really been a journey and a passion for service, and there's no greater feeling than knowing that you've had a positive impact on someone's quality of life. I feel very lucky and very fortunate to have found this calling in such an early age. I also make a point of never losing sight of what it's like to be on the front line. And I do that intentionally for my team and for my residents, because if I've moved so far along that I don't know how long it takes for any one task to be done or what it feels like from the resident's perspective of did they get the service that they deserve and the benchmarks and the level that we want to provide, then my compass isn't calibrated properly. So 30 years, all different property types, mostly Texas, but have had experience in the Northeast and the Southeast as well. Really
enjoy this build-to-rent space, but also love the multifamily traditional space. Kaplan has been a developer and operator for over 40 years. And we really pride ourselves from being a more boutique shop in terms of the way we approach operations, the way we approach our team building, and in service to our partners and our clients. So we are an owner operator, but we also do provide third party fee management services. I can be reached at our corporate office at 713-977-5699, or my email is ddoval@capcorp.com. And anybody who's looking for a management partner, we would welcome that conversation and future partnership. But just love being in this industry, love being part of something that's so important, and love the fulfillment that comes from having a service-driven heart in making people's homes a better place to live.
Great. And Nicole, we got about a minute left. Go ahead.
So similar to Dana, I fell into this industry in 94, and I was part of what back in the day was called the Apartment Guide. If anyone knows what that big, huge book was, on the distribution side, and have been in multifamily ever since. I moved over to the data side about 14 years ago. And, you know, SMART has been providing data analytics and comprehensive tools for performance track strategies, looking for investment opportunities. And it's a software that is specifically designed for owners, investors, developers, property managers. And, you know, our mission is to provide actionable data and enabling confident, you know, data-driven decisions. If anyone needs some information about the BTR space or specific data points, they can reach me at Nicole, N-I-C-H-O-L-E, at smartapartmentdata.com, or you can visit our website at smartapartmentdata.com.
Well, thank you, ladies. It has been fascinating, and we'll certainly have you back again soon to talk about not only this topic, but other multifamily topics. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.